welcome to Animal Companions. This is Joyce, your Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster, welcoming you to this edition of Animal Companions, where we read about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Today I'll be reading another section from Piglet, The Unexpected Story of a Deafblind Pink Puppy and His Family, by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. And if we have some time, I'll be reading some articles from the book Breathe, Dogs, Cats, and Us, The Magic of Pets. We're going to start today's readings with Piglet by Melissa Shapiro. In the last chapter, we realized that Piglet had become an active member of the Yale Animal Ethics Study Group. He helped Melissa launch an international nonprofit for special needs rescues and the Piglet Mindset Program. Today we're going to learn about the Piglet Mindset Program in Chapter 12. March 31st, 2019, Westport Weston Family YMCA. One of the things I love most about presenting the Piglet Show is taking questions forward. I loved questions from a serious first grader about Piglet's sleeping arrangements. I got to tell the whole story about our bedtime routine and how Zoe, Piglet, and Evie sit on the bath mat while I brush my teeth, waiting for their bedtime cookies. Another question I heard from young audiences everywhere was, why is Piglet pink? His pinkness is probably due more to a result of his breed mix than his being a double dapple. But once we've gotten on the subject, that lets me talk about what happens to puppies born to two dapple-colored parents. I would explain it as I do to adults, saying Piglet is deaf and blind, and he happens to have a white hair coat and a pink nose, all consistent with being a double dapple. The reason he looks pink is that he has very thin fur on his head, ear flaps, and nose, and his undercarriage is completely bald. This thin fur and lack of fur is common in Doxies and Chihuahuas. His pink skin coloring shines through, giving him a light pink tinge. Adults ask similar questions as well as ones I don't always know how to answer. Such was the case after Piglet Mindset presentation I gave at an event sponsored by PJ Library at the Westport Weston Family YMCA. The day had gone really nicely. My parents were there, dressed proudly in their Piglet sweatshirts, along with a handful of their friends and about 90 other people who'd come to hear the talk and meet the tiny pink boy. Half of those in attendance were kids, the other half were adults, and the YMCA meeting was packed to capacity. During my talk, Piglet snoozed in his stroller while Zoe, not wanting to be left out, insisted I hold her. Easygoing Evie hung out next to Warren, waiting for the Piglet show and her name to be called. After I gave my talk and answered questions, I invited the younger members of the audience to come closer and catch a tap demo with Piglet and his dog sisters. Something about keeping Piglet off stage added to the excitement for everyone getting to see him make his entrance, all rested happily and eager to show off his skills. Lately, in this period, I had started working with him by sending him signals through my breath. Instead of giving him a tap signal for come, for example, after he had done sit and stay, I could stay back and just blow a stream of breath in his direction and he'd respond. It was great to have Warren there too, to answer questions off the side. As several people were coming forward, crowding around in the hopes of taking pictures of Piggy Lee after the demo. And that can always become overwhelming. But Warren was and is such a diplomat and able to keep everyone engaged and moving that everyone who wanted a photo got one. Soon the commotion subsided. It was then that a man along with his very supportive-looking wife approached me and Piglety, who was snuggled up in my arms. The middle-aged man and his wife introduced themselves and said, "Hello, Piglet," beaming excitedly as one another as the pink boy inhaled the two of them with his tail wag. "I just wanted to tell you how much it means for us to hear you give your talk," he explained. That was a question he needed to ask, first prefacing it by saying how they had really been looking forward to finally meeting Piglet. "We started following you on Facebook right after you adopted him, and I want you to know that he has changed my life. He mentioned that he was a veteran and that he frequently had hard days. He told me how it had impacted him to see all that Piglet could do, how they had given him motivation in tough times to stay positive and find his own sense of resilience. The gentleman then paused and looked straight into my eyes, asking his important question, "Does Piglet inspire you?" My inclination would have been to smile out of wanting to be polite, but I tried not to do that. I wanted to take his question to heart and not respond superficially or flippantly. Of course, I was deeply touched by the positive impact Piglet has had on me and on many individuals who knew him only virtually. It never got old hearing that he inspired others to be positive and to find their own resilience, or that he could help them smile whenever they faced unrelenting challenges involving their health, their emotions, difficulties with family and friends, and pets. The stories themselves were very moving, how a little deaf, blind pink puppy had helped people change or shifted their attitudes and helped them live more meaningful and productive lives. Yet I frankly never looked at Piglet as an inspiration for myself. It's possible that because I was so connected to my tiny wonder dog, I wanted to avoid saying that I was inspired by myself. In any case, I answered authentically in that moment and said, "No, not really." Once I said it, I felt bad about having disappointed this man who had asked so sincerely. Maybe it would have been easier to give the desired answer and say, "Yes, I am inspired by Piglet." Throughout my life, I've been inspired by people who go above and beyond to advocate and make differences for other individuals, and who are humble as they do whatever it is that they should be doing without needing recognition. I use their example to model my own generosity and kindness. So rather than answering the question, "Does Piglet inspire you?" I realized that what I really needed to consider was what Piglet had inspired me to do. Piglet's spunk, his hunger to learn, his challenge to all of us to find a better way to communicate, and his crazy work ethic as he mapped and memorized every bit of his experience were more than impressive. At times, he truly brings me to tears with the size of his heart and by the huge impact he has on other children and adults every day, at events, on his social media page, in educational programs, and among people of really different ages and backgrounds. Has he inspired me to action? Without question. He has broadened my vision to think bigger and have higher goals as to how he and his pack, which includes our family and the various communities he impacts, can make a difference in the lives of that many more animals, particularly those who have disabilities, both with building awareness and promoting their adoption. Even though I didn't fully understand and answer the man's question at the time, I thank him for asking it and said I was going to think about it more. What a gift to look in the mirror and recall different ways I'd changed and grown since the day 2 years earlier when the upset, screaming foster puppy had barged into our lives, upending them before taking over and changing us in the process. Piglet has a gift for changing people's thinking about what we can and can't do. He challenges each of us to cultivate a mindset for great possibilities, and when faced with elaborate and obstacles, shift our attitude and raise our own experiences. This isn't to say that change is necessarily easy or always of our own making. That was something I knew all too well. The question, however, about how Piglet has changed our lives kept resurfacing. Every day I received messages describing how he had helped people face their own challenges. As he gained followers around the world, I realized that a global inclusion pack of a very large Piglet mindset movement was organically taking form. That was a very heady feeling, but nothing compared to how I felt when I first heard from a journalist at People.com whose name sounded familiar. Somewhere in my list making and seemingly out of reach goals, I had said that it would be amazing for Piggy Lee to land on the cover of People magazine. The initial article was on People.com, but it did so well that the editors came back and placed it in the print magazine a few weeks later. Piglet was so popular that he was named People's Top Pet Role Model for 2019, which was in the 2019 end of the year edition. This was our once upon a time 1 pound foster project, who was now not only a teacher, spokesman, advocate, and philanthropist, but a worldwide ambassador for animals and people with disabilities and for animals in need of rescue. The primary focus of the online article was our Piglet Mindset inclusion curriculum, which increased our reach to teachers and other educators who didn't know about our online materials and in-person class visit program. The article brought tens of thousands of new followers to Piglet's social media page, where most of my animal welfare awareness work takes place. What made the article even more special and personal was that our journalist, Greta Bjornsson, was in fact the daughter of a close family friend I'd known most of my life. It was magical. Following the release of the Online People article, I received new inquiries for features online, news, and media pages for weeks after I was interviewed on a Chicago news station and a Boston radio show, among many others. I also started getting more and more teacher requests for information about Piglet Mindset, educational outreach, and school and class visits. New teachers, new ideas, new experiences. Our growth mindset curriculum was expanding to new levels. My Instagram DM inbox was flooded at that point. I mentioned casually to Warren, I'm probably missing some important messages, and went to clear some of them out. As I was scrolling, I came across a message from a producer who worked at NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. They were interested in recording a Piglet Mindset classroom feature as a closer for a nightly news show. My personality is such that I try not to become overwhelmingly happy about anything. My preference is just to stay in the middle and allow events to play themselves out. But between People and Lester Holt, I was way over my ability to stay in the middle. I found myself feeling great happiness and satisfaction that my story and my program were of interest to mainstream media. The NBC piece to be recorded in Tricia Furgo's classroom in Plainville, Massachusetts, brought it full circle to the birthplace of Piglet Mindset. When I got off the phone, I could barely breathe from disbelief and excitement. Lukita sputtered and chirped. Dean started to bark, setting off a chorus from most of the others, with Piglet joining in. This was beyond anything anyone could have ever predicted from a 1 pound deaf blind pink puppy. I had to give in and celebrate the unexpected impact Piglet had managed to have in so short a time. Had Piglet, the deaf-blind pink puppy, radically changed our lives? Yes, 100% yes. He taught us, all of us, the boundless gifts of allowing unexpected possibilities into our lives. That's what I felt so strongly on November 8th, 2019, when we were able to schedule a visit to the NBC Nightly News studio to meet Lester Holt. Piglet was in his little stroller, all bundled up because it was windy and cold, as we walked from Javits Center, where I was attending a veterinary conference, all the way to Rockefeller Center. As part of me was so nervous as we approached uncharted territory. I thought back to how it felt when we attended large events, parties, and fundraisers with Piglet. I'd learned from past experiences how to make sure he was comfortable and to make sure that the others understood and respected his limitations. Piglet is a tiny dog processing a wide world, yet missing the two major senses, hearing and vision. Even though he certainly wanted to be there and enjoyed participating as I did, he needed a lot of downtime to recharge throughout long-lasting events and activities. On the other hand, when he was doing his Piglet show in schools and other venues, or traveling on the train and in his stroller, he was on top of the world, goal and destination driven. These thoughts filled my head as we entered 30 Rock, frankly because I was worried about why so many people were expecting from the meeting with the tiny deaf blind pink dog. He was often friendly to many, but he was also more interested in doing his tap signals than basking in the smiles and affection of other dogs, and that they would have been delighted to receive. I stopped at the NBC check-in area on the ground floor, where the man at the desk made a call up to the nightly news office. We waited for a few minutes for our producer, Kendall Murtaugh, to come down to meet us. "Hi, Melissa," Kendall said with a smile as she stepped out of the elevator to greet me. She also said hi to Piglet, even though she knew he couldn't hear her. We went up to the same elevator talking about our previous recording session in Massachusetts, and when the door opened, we rolled out onto the floor where NBC Nightly News was produced. After a tour of the broadcast studio, we ended in a large desk-filled production room where there were about 20 producers all working diligently at their computers, but obviously waiting for the pink guest to arrive. Once out of his stroller, Piglet made the rounds, saying hi to quite a few of the newfound NBC friends who were now sitting on the floor. He wagged his tail and smelled their breath, as he always does in these situations. At that point, Lester Holt arrived and the energy shifted. Aware somehow he was in the presence of an audience that mattered, Piglet lit up and performed with finesse as we went through some of his repertoire. I answered questions and handed out stickers and buttons. Then I put Piglet's pink blanket on a table so he could sit and pose with Lester Holt for some adorable pictures and videos, which we posted on Instagram. Mr. Holt was as gentle, caring, and kind as he comes across on the news. For a brief moment, I wished that Piglet could have been slightly more than other normal dogs and warmed up to Lester Holt and the others, maybe enjoying being held and snuggled in a more relaxed, personally interactive way. But that was not what Piglet was or is. He was himself, a tiny, pink, larger-than-life disabled dog that loved everybody who met him. When I left 30 Rock with Piggy tucked away in his blanket-lined stroller, I took my time as I walked back to the veterinary conference, letting my life over the past almost 3 years run through my mind like a slideshow. It was all there, my hands-on work with Piglet, the adventures that were to come as a result of his inspirational, motivational, and refreshing story, and the stories and messages from people who were happy, unexpectedly knowing Piglet and letting him change their lives. I stopped to eat at a vegan restaurant and even shared a few fries with Piglet, which I rarely do. It was a meditative walk back. I couldn't help thinking just for a minute what would have happened if there had been no rescue group and baby Bart had not made it out of the hoarding situation alive. I couldn't help thinking what would have happened if Gloria Andrews hadn't tricked us into taking a 1-pound puppy with vision and hearing deficits. More than anything, I couldn't help thinking what would have happened if Warren had said anything other than okay when I sent him the picture with the question, Foster Project? It wasn't as if he'd really been given a choice in the matter. Before going back into the vet conference, I called Warren to let him know how the NBC visit went. As I gave him a few highlights, I thought how he had changed and how much more patient he had become. All those hours of holding Piglety, almost like a human dog bed, must have had a profound calming effect on our favorite dad. So many of the things that Warren does so well but sometimes takes for granted had become sharpened, though I'm sure that I acknowledged him before, just in case I had never said it. I ended the call by saying in all sincerity and not very loud, "Thank you, Warren." Next week, we'll continue the reading on Piglet in the chapter, The Music Is Inside. Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian, wrote Piglet, the unexpected story of a deaf-blind pink puppy and his family. Our next readings come from Breathe, Dogs, Cats, and Us, The Magic of Pets. Dogs, the way they lie in the grass with their head raised, nose twitching in the breeze, the way they stop suddenly to track a scent, then follow it back and forth around the ground, snuffling snout an inch or less from the ground. They're bouncing, they're barking, they're imploring eyes as they drop a ball at your feet. An American writer, Caroline Knapp, so aptly said, "Before you get a dog, you can't quite imagine what living with one might be like. Afterward, you can't imagine living in any other way." A relationship with any animal, cat, dog, bird, fish, can open up a world of spontaneity and awareness and teach a new way of being. The mental and physical health improving benefits of owning a pet are well documented. They can ease loneliness, encourage exercise, reduce stress, anxiety, lower blood pressure. But it's the joy and contentment they find in the present moment that is so uplifting. Animals don't spend their time thinking about what happened in the past, might happen in the future, or will never happen. Their attention is rooted in the now, the taste of that treat, the roll of that ball, the feel of that scratch behind their ears. Watching a bird in flight demands you let go of that random stream of thought that was cluttering your mind and focus on what's in front of you. Following animals into the great outdoors deepens your connection to nature, opens you to encounters with others, and settles frayed nerves. And above all, accepting their unconditional, non-judgmental love can be wonderful as an antidote to our too often appearance-based lives. In the words of Kinky Friedman, money can buy you a fine dog, but only love can make him wag his tail. Animal magic. Anyone who shares a home with a furry, feathered, or even scaly companion will know just how soul-soothing owning a pet can be. After a stressful day, all it takes is a wet nose nuzzled into your neck or a cute, expectant face waiting at the door to make everything seem just right with the world again. Indeed, it has been scientifically proven that just stroking the special animal, be it Luna the cat, Milo the dog, or Slinky the snake, can significantly reduce stress levels and make humans happier in a heartbeat by boosting levels of feel-good hormones. The American Heart Association has even stated that owning a pooch may lower the risk of heart disease. But this healing power isn't anything particularly new. Records show that dogs have been onto this remarkable gift since the early 1700s. They have been bringing animals into consulting rooms to harness their therapeutic qualities to help soothe patients, and the concept of using horses as therapy can be traced back even further. Greek physicians and fathers of medicine, Hippocrates, discussed hippotherapy, horse therapy, in the 400 BC era. Today, horses, dogs, cats, and even capuchin monkeys, the little wizened ones with the old men faces, are used across the world to help people struggle with physical, emotional, and psychological issues. These range from the everyday and mundane to the extreme, where specially trained dogs are drafted into disaster sites to soothe highly traumatized people. In the UK, charity Pets as Therapy, known as PAT, currently dispatches at least 5,657 dogs and 49 cats, along with their volunteer humans, to places including hospitals, care homes, schools, and prisons. Founded in 1983, the charity's aim is simply to bring joy, comfort, and companionship to people who love to stroke or touch animals. Jasper, the fluffy Shetland sheepdog, brings his unique Sheltie smile. He turns up his top lip to grin and his ever-happy wagging tail when he delivers a weekly dose of joy to Jenny Ball, who has been living and visiting for the past few years. Jenny was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in her 20s and has lived in a residential care home for 12 years. Long-lasting effect. Once a keen horse rider, the mother of two is now a wheelchair user and is the debilitating neurological condition has left her with little movement. A bright lady with sparkling eyes, she was especially heartbroken to leave behind her beloved English Springer Spaniel Jake when she moved into a home, so Jasper's visits are truly treasured. He happily hops onto her chair to sit close to her during his visits, which typically last for up to 2 hours. He's such a lovely dog and seems to understand I can't move or touch him, so he leans in to listen to me as I speak, she says. It's very relaxing and peaceful. The effect lasts for the rest of the day. Jasper's devoted owner, Rosemary Geller, is a passionate advocate for Pat, and she coordinates visits around her local area. A former doctor in public health, she became involved after a major operation left her in need of physiotherapy and a mood boost several years ago. Her daughters brought in Jasper, then just an excitable puppy to cheer her up in the high dependency unit. When her physiotherapist remarked he'd make a good therapy dog, Jasper's future was set. Rosemary and Jasper have visited dozens of people in the intervening years, but she cites one particular case where she witnessed animals healing in action. One of the most moving experiences was working with a severely dog-phobic child, she recalls. He was too terrified to even go into the park in case there were dogs. But after just two therapy sessions with Jasper, he was badgering his mom for a dog of his own. It was remarkable. Any breed of dog or cat can potentially become part of a PAT team, but they must first pass a stringent temperament assessment. The test includes smashing objects around them to stimulate the sense of noise an animal may encounter during visits and making sure he or she doesn't jump up or paw inappropriately. They also have to be well-groomed ahead of visits, so Rosemary brushes Jasper's teeth to make sure his breath smells sweet for his hello and goodbye kisses. Visiting unfamiliar people in unfamiliar settings requires a well-trained animal with impeccable manners. At the Good Dog Foundation in New York, these requirements are tested to the limit. Its president, Rachel McPherson, set up a charity 19 years ago when she was an Oscar-nominated independent filmmaker starting work on a documentary about therapy dogs. Rachel was instrumental in changing the law to allow therapy animals onto the wards of New York hospitals, and her unshakable belief in the therapeutic qualities possessed by dogs then led her to the creation of a special crisis response unit. As you would expect, these dogs go through a far more rigorous training program and are only paired with volunteers who have a relevant experience. There are 6 crisis response teams that have been set in with first responders in the immediate aftermath of the disaster, such as 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, and the Boston Marathon bombing. In the wake of such horrific incidents, people struggle to process what they have experienced. A gentle lick on the cheek from a dog offering unconditional love is pretty much all that they can handle. Dogs are the absolute best in the early stages of grief, explains Rachel. They sense when someone is traumatized or in pain. The people are dealing with do not want a human being, be it a therapist or a person of faith, telling them how to process grief or how to deal with it. Rachel's own dog, Fidel, a tricolor Papillon, won Heroes Awards for his animal-assisted therapy work at Ground Zero. He passed away in 2015, but his awards are still displayed around Rachel's Broadway office. Fidel could read the needs of so many family members who lost loved ones in the Twin Towers, she says. He would stand on his back legs and do a little patter on their leg. I've stayed in touch with many people who received Fidel's healing powers during those dark times. While cynics may dismiss much of this as anecdotal evidence, Rachel points out that the Good Dog Foundation work was vital and officially recognized, part of the psychological support offered in the months after 9/11. The foundation tagline is, "Dogs helping humans heal." And an ongoing collaboration with major teaching universities in the U.S. could soon produce scientific evidence to prove it. This article comes from Breathe, Dogs, Cats, and Us, The Magic of Pets. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of Animal Companions for today. I do hope you've enjoyed the readings and invite you back again next time to hear more stories about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Until then, this is Joyce for Animal Companions and for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Be well, everyone. Stay healthy. Be happy. Bye-bye.